Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee, Weekend Edition. Pastor David McGee is internationally recognized for his unique conversational verse-by-verse and chapter-by-chapter teaching through the Word of God. We encourage you to visit crossthebridge.com to study the Scriptures along with Pastor David. But right now, open your Bible to the Old Testament book of Job and follow along for today's teaching. In this series of special Weekend Edition programs, Pastor David has been teaching lessons from the life of Job. Job is one of the oldest books in the Bible. We are finding out that what needed to be learned back then still needs to be learned by us today as we continue studying chapter 31. Now, here's Pastor David.
We've been going through the book of Job, and let's read Job chapter 31, verse 1. I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? For what is the allotment of God from above, and the inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is it not destruction for the wicked, and disaster for the workers of iniquity? Does he not see my ways and count all my steps? If I have walked with falsehood, or if my foot has hastened to deceit, let me be weighed on honest scales, that God may know my integrity. If my step has turned from the way, or my heart walked over my eyes, my heart walked after my eyes, or if any spot adheres to my hands, then let me sow and another eat. Yes, let my harvest be rooted out. If my heart has been enticed by a woman, or if I have lurked at my neighbor's door, then let my wife grind for another, or serve for another, and let others bow down over her. For that would be wickedness, yes, it would be iniquity deserving of judgment. For that would be a fire that consumes to destruction, and would root out all my increase. Verse 13, if I have despised the cause of my male or female servants when they complained against me, what then shall I do when God rises up? When he punishes, how shall I answer him? Did not he who made me in the womb make them? Did not the same one fashion us in the womb? Verse 16, if I have kept the poor from their desire, or caused the eyes of the widow to fail, or eaten my morsel by myself, so that the fatherless could not eat of it. But from my youth I reared him as a father, and from my mother's womb I guided the widow. Verse 19, if I have seen anyone perish for lack of clothing, or any poor man without covering, if his heart has not blessed me, and if he was not warmed with the fleece of my sheep, if I have raised my hand against the fatherless when I saw I had help in the gate, then let my arm fall from my shoulder. Let my arm be torn from the socket. For destruction from God is a terror to me, and because of his magnificence I cannot endure. If I have made gold my hope, or said to find gold, you are my confidence. If I have rejoiced because my wealth was great, and because my hand had gained much. If I have observed the sun when it shines on the moon moving in brightness, so that my heart has been secretly enticed, and my mouth has kissed my hand, this also would be an inquiry deserving of judgment, for I would have denied God who is above. Verse 29, if I have rejoiced at the destruction of him who hated me, or lifted myself up when evil found him, indeed, I have not allowed my mouth to sin by asking for a curse on his soul. If the men of my tent have not said, who is there that has not been satisfied with his meat? But no sojourner had to lodge in the street, for I have opened my doors to the traveler. Wow. So we see that he was being responsible with the increase that he had been given, that he was helping to provide for others. Now let's keep reading though. Verse 33, if I have covered my transgressions as Adam by hiding my iniquity in my bosom, obviously people were already talking about how God created the earth and what happened with Adam, that he covered his transgression instead of coming to the Lord with it. Verse 34, because I feared the great multitude and dreaded the contempt of families, so that I kept silence. and did not go out of the door. Oh, that I had one to hear me. Here is my mark. Oh, that the Almighty would answer me, that my prosecutor had written a book. Surely I would carry it on my shoulder and bind it on me like a crown. I would declare to him the number of my steps. Like a prince, I would approach him. If my land cries out against me and its furrows weep together, if I have eaten its fruits without money or caused its owners to lose their lives, then let thistles grow instead of wheat and weeds instead of barley. The words of Job are ended. Let's read a few more verses here in chapter 32, because there's some interesting things here that won't include in chapter 31. But let's read on chapter 32 of Job, verse 1. So these three men ceased answering Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, of the family of Ram, was aroused against Job. His wrath was aroused because he justified himself rather than God. Also against his three friends, his wrath was aroused because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. Now, because they were years older than he, Elihu had waited to speak to Job. When Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, his wrath was aroused. So Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young in years, and you are very old. Therefore I was afraid and dared not declare my opinion to you. I said, age should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. Now listen to this. Great men are not always wise. Seems he's going to be coming out with a lot of on-time stuff. Great men are not always wise, nor do the aged always understand justice. Job was presenting himself as being right and God being wrong. And he was trying to justify himself rather than God in chapter 31. When Job in chapter 31 says, hey, put me on the scales that God may know my integrity, he says in verse 6, chapter 31, verse 6, Job says, oh, that God may know my integrity. Look, it's easy for us to sit here and criticize Job, but we need to learn from what we see here. Whenever you think God should be impressed with your integrity, that's not a good road to go down. Or that God owes you something. See, that's where religion, man's way, can take you. It's a humbling thing. The prophet Isaiah has so many of those awesome verses. You know, the prophet writes in chapter 64, 6. He says, but we are all like an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Or in the New American Standard, that's a good version too. It says, for all of us have become like one who is unclean. All of our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. All of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. And when the prophet says, our righteousnesses are like filthy rags, that's a very descriptive term. It's used menstrual cloths. That's what our righteousness looks like. Now, not only do you have that image, but also understand that makes you unclean. There's a portion of that cycle where a woman would have been considered unclean and would have even gone outside the camp. So our righteousness is unclean. Our righteousness leaves us unclean. Our best. That's humbling, isn't it? And it should be, and it's supposed to be. When you look at these things and see that Job was trying to say, look, God, look at my righteousness. And even my righteousness compared to God's. So we see that Job really slipped off here at the end in what he was saying. And granted, now, you know, the enemy had kind of worn him down. And be careful of that. Years ago, that was such words of wisdom. It was Charles Stanley. used the acronym HALT, H-A-L-T. And he said, anytime in ministry where you're hungry, angry, lonely, tired, hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, be careful. Whenever you have a huge victory, be careful. Elijah got, he was elated because of the victory on Mount Carmel. All the prophets had, you know, God had shown himself mighty on his behalf. And of course, Jezebel says, I'm going to get you. And he freaks out and runs. This leaves us in an interesting place then for chapter 32. I really almost want to jump into there, but time would restrain us. But here's what's interesting, too, is that we find ourselves in this season called Hanukkah. And it helps us to understand this season, to understand its significance to us, to the Jewish people, and to the world. First of all, Hanukkah is not one of the seven biblical feast. Leviticus 23 has those, and hopefully you know those if you've been here a while and should be able to go through them. And Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, the spring feast, and then the winter feast of Rosh Hashanah, first Feast of Trumpets, then Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, and then Feast of Booths, Sukkah, Feast of Tabernacles. Those are seven biblical feasts. Hanukkah is not one of those. It's not one of the seven. Now, in addition to those seven feasts, there's also the monthly new moon. There's also the Shabbat. And we're going to talk about the Shabbat more sometime this season, because it would be awesome for you to have a Shabbat, take a Shabbat, perhaps Christmas Eve or Christmas Day or New Year's Eve. And so we'll give you a handout and I'll talk a little bit about how that is, because once again, you know, we, in saying, oh, the Sabbath is not for Gentiles, so let's just throw all that away. No. Up until just a few years ago, Gentiles kind of kept the Sabbath, and we had the blue laws, and you can get into the legislative morality discussion, but I mean, we do legislate morality. To say we don't is just not, it's hard to cure stupid, but did I say that? Did you hear that? I didn't. You just thought I said that. I didn't really say it. Drawing from God's word for wisdom, we come up with some interesting things. Now, again, Hanukkah and Purim, those are two not biblical feasts, but they are of significance. If we had the Apocrypha in our Bibles, which we don't as Protestants, we would read that in Maccabees, 1st and 2nd Maccabees, that there was Hanukkah. Should a Christian celebrate Hanukkah? Well, if we're following Jesus, I guess we should, because Jesus celebrated Hanukkah. And it's recording the scripture. I never was told this. I read this and saw it. In John chapter 10, in verse 22, it says, now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem. The feast of dedication is Hanukkah. It's also called the Festival of Lights. But let's keep reading. Now, it was the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. So he went up during Hanukkah to minister. So should we celebrate Hanukkah? Absolutely. And we should use it as an opportunity to minister. Some Christians get into, well, Christmas, it's Saturnalia, and we're not really sure it's the day that Jesus was born. And you come off looking like Scrooge. Don't do that. And don't do that on Facebook, because unbelievers are watching.
Pastor David will be back in less than 1 minute as he continues teaching in the book of Job. A great way to start out each day is with a practical email devotional every morning from Pastor David. Visit crossthebridge.com to start receiving yours for free. If you have a cell phone, you can also text the word ENCOURAGE to 94253. That's 94253 to receive a short encouraging text from us each day. And now, back to the teaching.
So now it was the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. He's already done so many things by this point. It's interesting how time changes and nothing changes. Here are the people of Israel, again, looking for something. Tell us. If you're the Messiah, tell us. In a few verses in John, Jesus answered them and said, I told you, and you did not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Listen for his voice. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And please understand that when the Lord is speaking to you, sometimes the enemy will come in there and try to talk to you, try to slip something in. How can you tell? Go to the Word. God's never going to contradict his Word. The enemy will contradict the Word of God. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Boy, it's getting good, huh? Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Great word. Incidentally, when somebody says, oh God, you know, Jesus never said he was God or never presented himself to be God or nobody thought he was God, then that nonsense. Great passage here, John chapter 10, verse 31 to 33. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God. They weren't confused about what Jesus was saying. They were upset. They were accusing him of saying he was God. Why? Because he was saying he was God. He said, me and my Father are one. And they got mad. Again, anytime you see these guys getting mad, that's a big clue. Go back and read something. You missed it. So they get mad. And this, again, this is during this Feast of Dedication, Festival of Lights. Lights are very important biblically. They're very important to us. There is something in us pre-wired looking at a fire or even a candle. There's something about that light that we are drawn towards. So there's Hanukkah, and it has many spellings. If you're wondering how to spell it, I don't know. There's like three different ways, and everybody seems okay with all of them. So one has one N, one K, one has two Ks, one starts with a CH. So whatever. So Hanukkah, it's pronounced the same no matter how you spell it. Hanukkah, Hanukkah, Hanukkah. Festival of Lights, Feast of Dedication. Again, while it's not one of those seven Jewish feasts, it has more to reveal about the end times than any of the other feasts. Let me review a little bit for you of what happened. And another little detail that I discovered in my research. There was a man, a leader, who when he became the official leader, added Epiphanes to his name, to his title, basically making himself a god. So he decides that he's a god, tells everybody he's a god. It's Antiochus Epiphanes. Now, he's over Judea, and he is of Greek influence. He's doing, it's called Hellenizing, or getting people to speak Greek, write Greek, read Greek, pick up the Greek ways. And this was happening in Israel, and people were falling away from the faith. And so there were two groups of people, and in one of them were following Antiochus Epiphanes. And he came back from this war in Egypt, and there was a scuttle, and he decided he was going to put his foot down. And interesting, when he was in Egypt, Antiochus Epiphanes, he literally drew a line in the sand. And that's where we get that line in the sand thing from Antiochus. So he comes back from Egypt, sees this stuff going on in Israel, and they just do horrible, unspeakable things. They killed 80,000 people in Jerusalem. A lot of them were women and children. They had them do just horrible stuff. And at the same time, he takes the temple and takes all the gold out of it. He's been influenced from the altar of Satan, from another place that we read around in the book of Revelation. So he's been influenced by that altar of Zeus, altar of Satan. He comes to the temple, and in the temple puts an altar to Zeus, and then puts all these unclean things. Then he takes a pig, which is an unclean animal, takes his blood and just slings his pig's blood all over the temple. He tells the Jewish people, you can't celebrate Sabbath. You can't do anything Jewish. You can't go to the temple. You cannot worship. If we find you worshiping or celebrating the Sabbath, we'll kill you. And they did. They caught a group of people hiding out in a cave and going there and celebrating the Sabbath. And they had a spy that came in that told about them. And they were all executed. There were two ladies who circumcised their children. And they were made to go through the streets with their children, nursing them in front of everybody. And then he had them thrown off of the high point in the city. Things were bad. They were bad. And they were outnumbered. They were outgunned. This was an army that Antiochus had. But there was a group of people that wanted to worship God. And yeah, they knew it was illegal, but they were the remnant that said, we're not going to obey man, we're going to obey God. And friends, the time may come in this country where we have to decide. We may have to engage in civil disobedience. If they come in, they say, look, you know, you can't say that this is a sin or that's a sin because that's hate speech. Some would label what I said Sunday hate speech. And so, okay, because of that, listen, don't do that again or we're going to throw you in jail. Y'all better go ahead and get a bail fund for Pastor David because I'm going to keep declaring the gospel. Amen? Praise God. Absolutely. Yeah. And so Antiochus sitting this object up is what's spoken of in the book of Daniel when he speaks about the abomination of desolation. It's a picture of the end times. They had desecrated the temple, but the Maccabees, they said, you know what? We have to fight against this. So they started. They started fighting against it. Little skirmishes, little guerrilla warfare. They got this street and then that little town and then this highway and then that little town. And then they got up to the gates of Jerusalem. And even though they were outnumbered and outgunned, somehow they took Jerusalem back. And they went into the temple and it was you know, weeds growing everywhere. And then they went in and they saw that pig's blood. And they started cleaning and scrubbing. And they went to light the menorah. But they only had oil for one night. And it took 8 days to process the oil to use it in the menorah. So they didn't know what they were going to do. Well, the oil that was supposed to last for one day lasted for 8 days. And so meanwhile, they were making the oil and preparing it. And that oil burned long enough that then they could prepare the oil and then use that. And that's why it's called the Festival of Lights or the Feast of Dedication. And you see there's a picture there of a remnant standing up for God. Even though it's not popular, even though the government at that time said it was illegal, they still stood up. And what a wonderful picture of what we need to do in whatever times we find ourselves in. A key verse that they use for Hanukkah was Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. We need to remember that. It's not by might nor by power, but my spirit, says the Lord. Now, that's not an excuse for us to sit back and just, God will do it. No. We press in. We do all we can. And then let God handle it. We give God our best. And then watch what he does with it. Oh, one last thing. Upon more research, Antiochus Epiphanes was pushing a Greek agenda on them. But he himself was not Greek. He was Syrian. So God saved Israel from the Syrians over and over. God preserves Israel through this. He always preserves the remnant. And friend, I firmly believe that we, the church, will be raptured out before the tribulation.
You've been listening to Pastor David McGee on Cross the Bridge Weekend Edition. Tune in again next Saturday afternoon at 4:30 Eastern and 1:30 Pacific Time as Pastor David continues teaching lessons from the life of Job on most radio stations. Friends, God loves you and wants you to experience His peace, forgiveness, and life. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." How do you receive this gift of everlasting life from God? First, acknowledge you're a sinner in need of forgiveness. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and died for you on the cross, taking your sin upon himself to provide forgiveness for you. Then ask for him to enter your heart and life, turning away from your sins, that is your own selfish desires, and then open your heart to follow God's plan for your life. You can start your new life by praying something like this from your heart. Dear Jesus, I believe that you died for me, that I could be forgiven. I believe you are resurrected, that I could have a new life. Lord, I have done wrong things, and I am sorry. Please forgive me for all of those things, and please give me the power to live for you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, if you prayed that prayer today for the first time or are coming back to God after wandering away, please let us know. Email PastorDavid@crossthebridge.com and share your good news. That's a great first step to growing in your new faith. We'd love to email you back some more ways to continue in this wonderful adventure of faith. Remember that you are not alone and you are loved. Also, don't forget to visit crossthebridge.com to discover more resources provided at no charge to help you learn more about the Bible. If you'd like to help us share God's Word with others, please click on the donate button and support this program with your regular gifts. And tune in to Cross the Bridge Weekend Editions each Saturday and Sunday on this station or on the crossthebridge.com website. God bless you and have a great day.